Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
A powerful response from many of you about a conversation we had yesterday. Here's Thomas Day. He is an Iraqi war veteran who grew up in State College, Pennsylvania. And while he was there, he was a part of Jerry Sandusky's Second Mile program and then graduated from Penn State. He talked yesterday on this program about losing faith in the leaders of his parents' generation.
Young folks of my generation don't have a whole lot of faith in the leaders. And for me, this situation with my local community back home in State College, Pennsylvania, kind of encapsulates that.
But some of you thought that was a little bit unfair. Diane wrote this at our website. I have to note that while Sandusky may be in Mr. Day's parents' generation, Paterno, at 84, is part of the so-called greatest generation, and it was under his leadership that Sandusky flourished. Let's stop the generalization and blaming everything on the baby boomers. Though some of you thought Thomas's assessment was spot on, here's Mike in Washington.
He's right. My generation, my grouping, I'm 55. God, we don't know how to compromise. We want to argue. Hey, these young people should be occupying. Go for it, guys.
And David Myers, I suspect, agrees with that. He's a takeaway listener who got in touch with us to share his story. He's a student at Columbia Law School and a writer for The Daily Caller. Good morning, David.
Thank you very much for having me back, Celeste.
Well, you know, you just heard one of our listeners saying he's 55 and that your generation should be disenchanted with the leaders of his generation. Why do you think that many in that age group feel as though their parents' generation has let them down?
Well, I'm looking at it from a political perspective, and especially the debt crisis and the super committee process, I think, is very disappointing. We just found out today that the debt has reached $15 trillion, nearly $50,000 for every American. President Obama has said himself that unless we reform entitlement programs by 2025, every single tax dollar we take in will be spent for Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, and interest on the debt. And yet, we don't have a solution. Both parties agree that there's a crisis. We're constantly being told that something will be done about it. And all my generation sees is the can getting kicked down the road. And we're very worried about what it means for our future. And I think that the previous listener who said that politicians and people of this generation are unwilling to compromise, at least in this political situation with the debt crisis and entitlement reform, is spot on.
David Myers is a takeaway listener, writes for The Daily Caller, and a student at Columbia Law School. And you know, David, you're a conservative. You worked for the White House under President Bush. You also worked with Mitch McConnell in 2009 and 2010. But your criticism seems to go across the aisle.
Yes, I think both parties are to blame. I think looking at the Democratic side, it's been very disappointing after President Obama has so clearly articulated the problem. He has not proposed a specific plan. He has not taken the lead. There's a Reuters story that said that he gave up on Social Security reform because of pressure from his political base. And then from the Republican side, I think, obviously, I'm a little biased. I think they've done a little better job of putting out specific proposals. I think those could be clearer. They could articulate their case better to the American people. And I also think there's a bit of an unwillingness to compromise as well. One thing that really stood out for me was the Republican debate a few months ago when they were asked if they would take a deal if it was $10 in cuts for every $1 in tax increases. And not one candidate raised their hand saying that they would even consider it. Now, to me, if it seems like the Democrats would put a proposal on the table for $10 trillion in cuts and $1 trillion in tax increases, that's a reasonable proposal, and they should at least look at that, if not take it outright. And so I think both parties share some of the blame.
So we're talking about your parents' generation and your grandparents' generation, if we're talking about Congress here. Where did the leadership of the country perhaps get led astray? Where does this lack of cooperation, the lack of the ability to compromise that you're describing, where does that come from?
I think we've definitely seen it increase in tenor over the past few years. To be fair to, I guess, the current generation of political leaders, a lot of the crisis that we have now was passed on to them from the previous generations. One thing we're seeing specifically at the state levels is these huge public pensions that are unfunded and are unsustainable, and that is something that has been given to this generation. But that doesn't excuse the fact that they're now in a situation where they have to find a compromise. And I'm not sure when this when this partisanship really got inflamed. There's a lot of talk about one of the worst things actually to happen was C-SPAN and cable news, because even though it promoted openness, you have a lot of politicians now who are posturing and not willing to work behind the scenes. But even since I've left Washington, the situation has grown intolerable, I think. One of the things that I most admired about President Bush is when I worked there, he had a policy where he really would not criticize Democrats as a party, and would not attack Democratic politicians by name. And at the time, I was a little younger, I didn't understand why he wasn't willing to do that and why he wanted that taken out of speeches. And I've really grown to appreciate that, because I think right now everything is blamed the Democrats, blamed the Republicans, and I think Republicans are just as guilty of this as the Democrats. And that's not what people want. They don't want blame assigned. They want people to work together and come up with solutions. On healthcare, for example, there was an interesting proposal, the Wyden-Bennett proposal, mm-hmm. and that was a bipartisan solution, and it didn't get support from either party.
Yeah,
and I think
nowhere.
That's the kind of compromise that people are looking for.
David Myers, takeaway listener, writer for the Daily Caller, a student at Columbia Law School. We want to get your thoughts at 877-8-MY-TAKE.